VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock, and I'm still full from Thursday. And this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here live as always, though it is the holiday weekend. Most of the financial people will probably be pre-recording or just doing a rerun, but not so much around here. So if you give us a call, if you want to talk about what you want to talk about, you go to the head of the line. I'd like to welcome everybody back. The regulars, thanks so much. We really appreciate you being here. And if you're new, on purpose or by accident, stick around for the hour if you can. You might learn a few things, might teach us a few things. You never know. We'll talk about everything we want to talk about unless you decide to pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255 or the easy way, 222-TALK, and then we'll talk about what you would like to talk about. We will have a Thanksgiving trivia question coming up today. And we're going to talk about the market, and then we're going to talk about some things where those of you who know me will not be surprised to hear that there's more on the tax cut thing. And I will not be silenced, period. In fact, there's only one way I can think of for anybody to keep me quiet today, and that's call and talk about what you want to talk about. Other than that, I'm just going to tell you the truth, and the truth is not a pretty sight.
No, it certainly is not.
No. So, without further nonsense, we have some very good news. I actually have two pieces of good news.
Okay.
One is the market in general, but the other one is something that will go largely unnoticed today. And there are times when I just have to tell you, just trust me on this one. And this is one of them. Richard Cordray retired.
I saw that.
And if you don't know who or what Richard Cordray is or was, he is a very bad man, and I say that for the simple reason that he is somewhere between a socialist and a communist. And his job, until recently, was head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was a position created by Elizabeth Warren prior to being a senator because she wanted the job. She was so whacked out that she couldn't get it, so she ran for the Senate in Massachusetts, and they elected her. Go figure.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But they put Richard Cordray in there, and he is just an incredible bureaucratic nightmare. He is gone. And I tell you just how bad this is in a nutshell. When they created the Consumer Financial Protection Board, they didn't make it part of the government. They actually placed it inside the Federal Reserve, which, as you've heard many times on the show, is not part of our government, even though everybody thinks it is. But they are so manipulative, and this thing is so powerful and so awful that they didn't even keep it under the Treasury Department. That tells you pretty much everything you need to know. The only relationship they have to the government is that the president can appoint and fire. He's the only one that can. Congratulations, President Trump. Not only for making sure he got out of there, because I think he's going to run for governor in Ohio. Pity them. But also he appointed, as an interim at least, Mike Mulvaney, who is a very, very wonderful guy who's much more on your side. So whether you know it or not, your life just got a little bit better, a little less controlling from D.C., and it's a wonderful thing. The other wonderful thing Adam will tell you about, records. More records in the markets.
Absolutely. It was a great week. We It was a short week, but it really didn't stop the markets from having a nice rally.
The first profit in 3 weeks, too.
First profit.
First up market.
Oh, first overall, up market. Yeah, we have been on a little bit of a down cycle. Nothing major.
No, but it was good enough to put them back in record territory.
Right. The NASDAQ once again led the way, increased by 1.6%, but it was the S&P that crossed a major milestone at 2,600, which it wasn't that long ago we were wondering if it would get to 2,500, and that's a big move.
2,500 was a milestone of epic proportion, and it didn't take long, as you said.
Yeah, it gained almost 1%, and then the Dow gained just under 1% as well. The fourth quarter is looking pretty strong with gains between 3.3% on the S&P to 6.1% on the NASDAQ, and we're only about halfway through it, so not bad.
Not bad.
If the traffic around town is any indicator, I don't think retail is dead because there was so much traffic on Friday, and I think everyone was shopping.
See what happened? Overall, the numbers?
I couldn't find them this morning. What was the
$3.5 billion.
Okay. Not bad.
Not bad. Up 15% over last year.
According to the National Retail Federation, more than 164 million Americans will be shopping over the weekend, both in stores and online. 70% of those participated in Black Friday. That's some big numbers.
Yeah, to be followed by.
We have Cyber Monday coming up, yep. And today is Small Business Saturday, so all sorts of good shopping if you're into that. And there's several ETFs that track the retail sector, including Spider's XRT, VanEck RTH, PowerShares PMR, and First Trust's FTXD. XRT is down about 6% this year, but it's well off its recent low when it was down about 13%. So looking like a little bounce in the retail sector there.
Rumors of its demise were somewhat exaggerated.
Yep, and traditional retail hasn't been the only winner in this digital economy. Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon or founder of Amazon, is now worth more than $100 billion.
Only $92 billion is actually from Amazon. The other $8 billion is just stuff.
Well, he's also given away $100 million to charity, so, I mean, yeah.
The sky's the limit, I guess.
Exactly. We saw a little bit of data released this week, and it was mostly positive, especially on the housing front, where existing home sales rose 2% in October and housing starts increased 13.7%. Starts are still down versus last year, but they're rebounding nicely from the hurricanes that were a pretty major disruption to the industry. It was not surprising to see that the largest increase came in the South, which saw the biggest disruption from the hurricanes. But the South was up something like 50% over the last month. Pretty crazy.
Funny thing, those natural disasters, if you look down the road a little piece, they're always good for the economy. They're bad for people, individuals. But collectively, we're all going to benefit from this for a while.
The only other semi-major report that came out was new orders for durable goods. And they actually missed. It came in below expectations at negative 1.2%. But most of that decline came in the volatile aircraft sector. So if you back that out, new orders rose 0.4% in October, which is pretty good.
They should never lump those in. Aircraft orders go through the roof and then down to zero and through the roof. Don't order one at a time every 3 weeks or anything.
No, it's once every, I don't know what the cycle is, 5 years or something, they order 100. So yeah. Stocks weren't the only thing that did well this week. Oil continued its recent climb, stopping short of hitting the $60 per barrel number. But with the recent momentum, it wouldn't shock me if that happened. It actually closed the week at $58.95, and the ETF that tracks it, USO, increased by almost 4% during the week. The ETF that tracks energy companies, XLE, didn't fare quite as well, but it also added 0.75% during the week. It's off by about 10% this year, but it's had a really nice rebound since August, so signs are pretty good in the energy industry.
The oil market is kind of a strange thing. It's in a state of confusion, especially in Saudi Arabia, where a lot of the big oil barons are actually under house arrest for reasons that I can't quite figure out yet. And Aramco, the Saudi Arabian oil company, trying to go public. And then over here, very quietly, our excess reserves are being worn off little by little.
And our production has ramped up as well.
Mm-hmm. So you're seeing more drilling rigs. And I think North Dakota will get off its malaise pretty soon and probably be back to fracking. I just wish that the natural gas sector would follow that like it has. But I guess that's going to delay a little bit. All right. Well, we're going to take a little break. And after it, we'll have the trivia question. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee. And
lines are open. Give us a call, 904-222-TALK. It's 904-222-8255. Trivia question today is about Thanksgiving. It's sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 636-7888. But before I do that, it occurred to me as we were walking out of this room last week at this time that I had forgotten to give the answer to the trivia question, which was how much the NASDAQ was up off of its low of about March 9th of 09. And since I didn't give it out, I updated it. And it is, you ready for this? A lot. How'd I do?
It's a big number.
443% increase, or you could say it's 5 1/3 times bigger now than it was then. I went back to my favorite date in history, which was January 20th, 1981, first inauguration of Ronald Reagan, because this is a trivia question I ask people who come to see us in the office who are expressing some fears in the market and that sort of thing. Think back what's happened to us as a country since 1981. We've been through the crash of 87, been through 9/11, we've been through 02, 7, 8, 9. We have been through a lot that has really impacted the market. So market stands today at about 23,500. And that's not even quite a record. That's the only one that didn't set a record this week. But I ask people, do you remember on that day, not so long ago, January 20th, 1981, where was the Dow Jones Industrial Average? And I usually get guesses between about 3,000 and 7,000, and that is way too high. It was 954. Now think how far we've come, how many things we've been through, and then I will pose this rhetorical question. Don't you think it's a good idea to get in the market and pretty much stay there unless something really weird is happening? And I'm not even going to just dignify that with an answer because it's so obvious. So anyway, since that day, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 2,369%.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. But it's nothing compared to the NASDAQ, 3,367%. And you remember back in, the March number, it was down about 1,200 something, and 1,268 it was actually. And it had been falling so fast that I was once heard to say, can the NASDAQ go negative? Which, of course, it can't. But it sure was looking like I wanted to. But there's a lesson in there that everyone should remember about investing. This is a very resilient market because we're a very resilient country with a very active and wonderful economy. So don't let it get you down. Anyway, this week, Thanksgiving trivia. Who was the president that actually made Thanksgiving Day a national holiday? And you know it's been a while, so don't think anybody real recent on this one. All right, where to begin? I have just so much to say and so much time to do it, but I did want to bring up a couple of quick headlines that I found. Wells Fargo fined $3.5 million for failed client account oversight. Morgan Stanley paid $13 million in fines plus restitution, and a fella up in Marietta, Georgia, named Jay Costa Kelter, misrepresented investments to his clients who were retired, wound up taking $108,000 to do such things as a Bentley, jewelry. He played the futures market by himself, and he claimed to be an employee of TD Ameritrade. Remember what we always say. If you go to TD Ameritrade and look for your account and it's there, good. But if you go there and it isn't there, bad. Pay attention, people. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Wonderful. You?
Could I take a shot at the trivia?
You actually can.
Abraham Lincoln.
You got it. How did you know that?
I used the between the year computer.
Well, that's a good one. Must be operating very efficiently this morning.
A little bit. I've had coffee.
Great. Yes, it was Abraham Lincoln. And there was a woman behind it. I don't think I brought her name, but they call her the something like the godmother of Thanksgiving. And she worked very hard to make it into this. And she was obviously around during that time and got the attention of the president at the time. And actually got it through, and I'm very grateful for many people that that's probably our favorite holiday because there's no outside stuff for it. It's just a day of family and food and fun and being truly thankful for all the things that we've got. So I like it. Another reason to revere Abe Lincoln, I believe.
Well, you got to look at the other side of it, though. It's fun for everybody but the turkey.
Well, one of those gets a break every year. Okay. You have any other questions, or can I put you on hold and we'll get your...
I couldn't stand it. I knew the answer. I had to call.
Well, I'm glad you did. Okay, well, I'll put you on hold, and Alan will get your name and address. Thank you very much. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
You too.
Okay. Well, I promised, and here I am. I will not be silent on this issue. You're being lied to. You're being lied to a lot and by both sides. The so-called Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Both sides of this issue are wrong. You, the people, are getting lied to, and you're going to not be happy with what happens. You remember many times in the past, probably, when I talk about when Congress has the apparently irrepressible urge to, quote, do something. We are in a perfect storm of the need to do something because in the year plus since Trump's been elected, they have accomplished the sum total of nothing. What he's done, he has done by himself. Congress is completely and utterly incompetent. That's the good news. Now, you may wonder why I say that's the good news. And I'll get into it. It's been, 4 or 5 weeks I've been talking about this, and I will not fade quietly into the night. What topic could you possibly think of that's going to affect a larger percentage of people in the U.S. than the income tax code? I can think of none. You've got a stake in the game, and you would probably like to get an outcome that resembles what you've been told. Right up front, I will say, many of you will. I am not going to sit here and claim that this is bad for everyone. And in fact, there's at least one provision I really like that has to do with the corporate tax reduction.
And also eliminating AMT is a good thing.
That's a very good one. And the estate tax.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you know about the two things you never want to see made, sausage and law. Well, this is a combination of them. I see it as a sausage in the making. And any of those wonderful provisions that I just talked about can be modified by the time they get it out of the bill, get it out of conference committee. And if it's changed, I will virtually promise you that it will not be changed for the better. This started with a very wonderful concept that our corporate tax rate is the highest in the world, and therefore it's holding business back, and it's causing a lot of what Congress calls inversions, which simply means that our companies that are headquartered here are moving overseas to save money on their taxes. Trump wanted to go down to 15% to make us very competitive, and I loved the proposal, and I still do. Well, Paul Ryan has two ears, and one side came in 15%, and the other side went out 20%. And now there's a move in the conference sessions on these things to raise it even further. It's the compromise. Well, if you raise it much further, where's the competitiveness going to come from? So probably the best feature of this whole thing is the corporate tax reduction, and they're in danger of blowing it. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about the lies. The Republicans are lying. And they're dead wrong to do it and about how they're doing it. The Democrats are lying. but their conclusion is right. I come down on their conclusion, but man, did they miss the mark on why. So let's start trying to find a few things they're lying about. And, you know, I thought for a long time about this and thought, Steve, should you really use the term lie? And I can't find a better description. It's the big lie. Let's start with this one. Everyone will get a tax cut. That was Trump's proposal. If it were true, I would be on board and I'd be shouting from the mountaintops. Let's get this thing passed. But personally, I went back and recalculated my 2016 taxes. I did it first with the House version. I did it second with the Senate version as best I could, because the Senate version won't even tell you where the tax brackets fall. I think that's just absurd. But I did it, and I didn't really like very much the results. Under one scenario, I came up that I would be paying $6,000 more a year, and under another scenario, I came up with I'd be paying $18,000 more a year. If that's my tax cut, they can keep it. Thank you very much. Another one, I'm going to bring this one up, and I think then the music will be getting short, and I'll talk about it after the break. We're doubling the standard deduction so everyone will have a large amount of tax-free income up front. They're calling it the zero tax bracket, and this is the fundamental building block of the big lie. And I'll tell you why right after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this is our Thanksgiving weekend special. Adam and I were just talking in the break. There's the annual rivalry football game at noon today.
Kind of lost some of its luster this year.
We were speculating that if the football bounces to the left, one team will win, and if it bounces to the right, the other team will win, or it's who fails to lose this game shall emerge the victor.
It's the first time since 1959 that both teams have had losing records going into this game.
And what was the game that's outselling this one price-wise?
UCF, USF. But they're both better than both of our teams. So
what has happened to the state we're so used to? Boy, what a strange turn of events. Lines are open, 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. All right, we're complaining. By we, I mean me.
But I agree with you.
Okay, good. The standard deduction is doubling. You'll hear it from Paul Ryan. You'll hear it from all the other spokespeople out there for it. But you won't hear the true story. The true story is that, A, it's not being doubled. If the tax law does not change, it'll be $13,000 for the standard deduction for a couple starting January 1. They're doubling that to $24,000. But when I double it, I seem to come out at 26.
Well, maybe you're better at math than there.
Maybe. Not maybe. I'm just more likely to tell the truth. So first off, right on its face, you've been lied to. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a little something now, and I honestly do wish people, if you don't know anything about taxes, that makes you an average American. But if you don't know much about taxes, I really would like it if you would pull out your last year's tax return and read it. I know it sounds boring. It's like reading an insurance policy or an annuity contract. But you should learn what makes your taxes. And one of the things that has always been sort of a load leveler for taxes is called the personal exemption. This is allocated to taxpayers on a per capita basis. Every person in your household gets a $4,050 exemption from income tax right off the top just for being alive. Now, that is going away, and they won't tell you that. You look at any of the descriptions of the proposals coming out of Congress, and it's right there, but they will not talk about it. What does that mean to the average person? Let's say you're a couple and you don't itemize. You will get $13,000 plus $8,100, two exemptions of $40,050 apiece. You add those up together, you get about $21,000 for a zero tax bracket. Whoever coined the term zero tax bracket should be taken out behind the barn and whipped. That is not what it is. It is the base amount that it takes you to live before they start stealing your money, and it's nothing more than that. So, right now, let's take a look at Adam's family, see how wonderful this tax deal is going to work. He has two children. There are two of them. That's four times $4,050. That means his personal exemptions are $16,200. And he gets a standard deduction of another $13,000, so that's $29,200 right off the top. If I may use the term I hate so much, that's his zero tax bracket, $29,200. That is being doubled, according to Congress, to $24,000. Now, if I had trouble doubling $13,000 to make it $24,000, I'm having a lot more trouble doubling $29,200 to $24,000.
And the really troubling thing about all this is that it's almost like they're targeting families, because we're the beneficiaries of the current tax law. And why would you? They talk and talk and talk about how they want to help middle class families, and they're doing it by taking away some of their personal exemptions. And there are provisions in there that give you tax credits for kids if you make under a certain amount of money. But
boy, they fade away at a reasonable income level.
Exactly. So if you have two working spouses, which most families do these days, you potentially are going to pay a lot more in taxes, and it just doesn't make sense. They're going after the group that they tried to say that they're helping. It's ridiculous.
This is a tax on having children. Now, as a country, we're one of the few countries that still has a positive growth rate in our population. European countries, but particularly some Asian countries like Japan, are suffering now from a declining population. Japan loses about 500,000 people a year. They are xenophobic as to people moving in there, so they don't accept outsiders in. We have a replacement. It takes about 2.1 to 2.2 children per family to replace your current population. Most European countries are in the 1.2 to 1.6 range, so they're declining. We're right about at replacement, not at growth, but at replacement. We get our growth through immigration. I wish it were all legal, but that's a topic for another day. But we have a growing population. Why is this important? Look at your Social Security, folks. What happens when it runs out of money? Well, it's scheduled right now that in year 2034 or so, you existing Social Security recipients, and by you I mean me and you and my wife, they will all get a 30% decrease in their current and ongoing benefits unless this is changed. Why? Because Social Security, the wonderful system, the wonderful concept, all that it is woefully underfunded. It was always meant to be in a population that is increasing and a working population that's increasing even faster. It also is dependent on us old people not living so long. Life expectancy when Social Security was started was under 65. Benefits started at 65. That meant if you were lucky enough to live past 65, you would get a Social Security check, and if you didn't, then it would go back into the big pool and it would pay the next people who lived that long. Who knows the name out there? Ida Mae Fuller. You know who she is?
I do.
Because you hang around me.
Yep.
You should, yep. Ida Mae Fuller was the first Social Security recipient in this country. She paid into the system about $28 and change, and she lived to be 100.
So do you know what she took out?
I have read it, but I don't remember the number. Ida Mae Fuller was the winner. She is hereby crowned the absolute winner. But that's how the system works. I'm not complaining. Anybody who gets more out of it than they put into it by living longer, great. That's the way insurance and annuities work. That's what it's for. The people who pay in pay benefits out to the older ones. Well, that used to result for many, many years in a surplus. And that surplus was a completely right thing to have happen. It's in the design. You want that pool to go up and up and up so that we never run out of money and you can fund these benefits forever. And if you want to see a very classic example of how well it can work, just look at Canada. Canada's system takes that money and invests it on behalf of Canadian citizens, and they invest it with dividends, and they have over time grown the pool of money up there for decades, and it's perfectly solvent. There's no problem up there. If you have earned your way into the system, you will get paid. Enter Washington, D.C. A few years ago, someone had the brilliant idea that we're not going to put that money in a lockbox or an account of some sort and invest it. What we're going to do is we're going to spend it. And then we'll buy a brand new shiny filing cabinet and put it in West Virginia. And into that filing cabinet, each time we rob Social Security, we will put an IOU, a government IOU, absolutely guaranteed by the full faith and credit of the United States of America. All right, all those IOUs went in there, and they eventually had to get another drawer in the filing cabinet, and they filled it all up. And then a strange thing happened one day. People started to live longer. There were fewer people in the workforce because times were not so good, thank you. So they started to rob Social Security to pay their routine bills. So, boom, all of a sudden we get into a situation where there is... We are literally running out of everything that includes IOUs, and the system is going to be going belly up. And when that happens, only current benefits will be paid out. So what we get from people's paychecks every week will be paid out to the people who are getting benefit, and that means a 30% reduction. There's more. It gets even worse. Hang on. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we've been talking about this ridiculous tax so-called cut. And I'm going to pick it right up where we left off. Social Security is in a world of hurt. Adam just did a quick little calculation on the Social Security Trust Fund that doesn't exist. The Canadian Trust Fund that does exist is probably reflecting what you just found out. Mm-hmm. Over the last 5 years, if you had invested in a very conservative allocation, and the way we modeled that is an exchange-traded fund called AOK, which is a very conservative allocation, the kind that if you were running a trust and you wanted it to grow some, but you didn't want a big downside risk, it would be up over those 5 years 27%.
Just under 27%. That's an annualized return of just under 5%.
And we, the U.S., spends all that money, borrows more, prints the IOUs, and on it goes. So we have no money. We have no ability to grow the trust fund. So those of you who are doing financial planning in the younger generations, we always advise you do not consider Social Security in your plans. Whatever you do get, whether it's all of it, part of it, or none of it, if you get anything at all, it'll be a bonus. But you are responsible now for your own retirement. And that's the way it's going to be for a while until we get some people up there that actually care about us. I can truthfully tell you, I do not think anybody in Washington, D.C. knows anything about us, cares anything about us, or will do anything positive about us. It's about them, their power, and their spending, and that's that. But I've been harping mostly on Republicans right now, and by God, they deserve it as much as I can dish out. But in the interest of being fair and balanced, let's talk about the Democrats, who somehow arrive at a good conclusion, but boy, do they do it poorly. Before the ink was even dry on either of these proposals, the Chuck and Nancy Act was on, and they were reading about why this thing is so bad, because it's tax cuts for the wealthy, on and on and on. They are like a broken record up there. So I ask you a question. What if I threw in, for the lower half of the income earners in this country, a 50% tax cut on top of this bill? Would they then like it?
It wouldn't
Adam's
do anything.
Adam's laughing.
It would do nothing.
Yes, they don't pay any income taxes. Cut it all you want. Cut it 90% if you want. I don't care. If it makes them feel better, we'll do it. Anyway, other proposals from the progressive side of the aisle. Don't borrow money from China, and we're blowing a hole in the deficit. Really? The left side of the aisle is concerned about the deficit? I'm 67 years old. I never thought I'd ever hear that, but I did. So now we have to raise revenue. Oh, see, that's what I forgot. It's just a reason to go around that corner and say, we shouldn't be cutting taxes. We should be raising taxes on the wealthy. Oh, wait, wasn't the whole purpose of this to be stimulative? And then those evil corporations.
The ones that employ many, many people in this country and put food on their table, those, and roofs over their head.
I heard a classic argument over the last couple of days. One of the naysayers on this thing for the corporate rate says, well, some places like GE don't even pay any taxes. They don't need a tax cut. That was kind of my point, wasn't it? But they say it's because of loopholes. I say it's because they follow the tax code.
Yeah. Well, they also haven't made a lot of money recently.
No. So the idea that they're concerned about the budget deficit just hits me as being a little bit specious. I'm going to ask everybody a question. I'll take an over-under on this. That's something I want you to think about. Tax code today is about 70,000 pages long. How much will it change? Will it be bigger or smaller? And by how much? That's my over-under. This is touted as tax simplification. I'm going to bet you here and now that by the time this thing's done and in print, it's at least 75,000 pages long.
Oh, that's being, I was going to go 15% higher.
I would not be at all surprised. This is not going to do what it says it will do. And again, I will reiterate, there will be some corporations that do benefit. Hallelujah, that's good for everybody. That will produce more jobs. But is that good enough for me to have my taxes increased so that someone else can go to work? I hate to sound selfish, but I already have a job. Yes, I'd love it if more Americans went to work. It's good for the economy, which means it's good for the stock market. That's my business, so sure, I'll get a benefit from it. But I don't want to pay up front for that benefit by virtue of just doing what I do anyway and having been lied to that they were going to cut my taxes. Those of you who are sole proprietors, have sub-S corporations, LLCs, small businesses, in other words, which are over 90% of all businesses are small. Most of us, or at least a good share of us, have pass-through businesses. All that means is your company doesn't pay taxes. You do. If you're a sub-S corporation, you compute the income for the corporation. The income goes to the people who own the sub-S corporation and is taxed as their personal income. We are getting an increase. The thing that caught my eye, I guess, the first thing was that now I'm in a 25% tax bracket, and they're reducing all the tax brackets, right? That's what they told us. Well, my 25% tax bracket is being reduced to 25%. And again, I have trouble with this mathematics thing. I've got a college degree in math, but it just doesn't seem to add up to me.
Well, and then your 10% is going to 12. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's being lowered to 12.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we looking at now? Well, anybody who isn't in the 39.6 bracket may not be headed for a tax cut after all. How do they get away with this? They're complicit. The press is complicit. The Democrats are inadvertently complicit. And the Republicans are lying through their teeth. I want you all to know that and understand it. The best thing that could happen in this thing is that it fails. And when that happens, it's going to be very bad for Republicans, as it always is when they can't get anything done, which always happens when they have full control, because they are incompetent. We have to drain the swamp.
You know, it'll be bad for Republicans, but it'll be good for Americans. So, yeah. You know, I'll take it.
If what I call my side isn't on my side, then it's no longer my side. There's a... many of you probably heard of this, the Travis Manning Foundation. It was named after a young man who gave his life in the service of the country. The head of the Travis Manning Foundation said something the other day that I think is so astute that I thought I'd share it with you. It's only six words. Character is invisible until it's not.
Yeah, I like that.
Says pretty much everything you need to say, doesn't it? All right, well, given what we're facing here, next week I'm going to get real into this and talk about what would these proposals do to your ability to do tax planning. We got to know what's going to happen before we can do tax planning, but there are some things we can prepare for, and it's only November, so we have some time to get some things done. I always bring this up at this time of year, but this year is going to be more important than any other year because the probability of certain things going away is very high. One of the problems that I saw coming that our gurus are telling us is not going to be a problem, but I'm wary about it, is the Roth IRA conversion. There, no one is saying that you can't do a conversion anymore, but the thing that makes a Roth IRA conversion one of the best planning techniques in all of financial planning is the ability to undo it the year after you did it. It's called a recharacterization. So if you convert something to a Roth this year, that creates a taxable event. It takes it out of your tax-deferred account, puts it in your no-tax account. That amount is taxable to you as ordinary income this year. Unless you get into next year and say, oh, I don't like the results of this because it blew me into another tax bracket up or something like that, you have the ability to undo all or part of that transaction up to October 15th. That's the recharacterization, and that is truly one of the best planning tools that Adam and I have in our day jobs. If they take that away, it means that once you do a Roth conversion, it is taxable to you, period. April 15th, you're going to pay for that. What are they thinking? Now, according to, as I say, our IRA consultants who subscribe to, I think they're the best in the world about IRAs. They're telling me that it's going to be dropped in both packages. And I'm telling him, show me.
We'll see.
I do not have confidence in these people. You can have a bad proposal on each side, and it can go into conference and come out an even worse proposal. That's my fear. Theoretically, that's a chance for them to get it right. I don't believe it, and that's why I will be on this thing every minute of every show until I can tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Thanks for listening. Don't fail to hear next week's show. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.